From River Valley Health and the base, Derek Lampshire joins us once again, fresh off of finishing Ironman in New York. Is that right?
Coeur d'Alene, Jay, but close.
Oh, Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, close.
Oh, I saw I was on the opposite end of the... I thought, did you go to New York?
Thinking of going to New York. Actually, going to New York in October. That's the one you and I are going to do, right?
We're going to throw a challenge down there, buddy. I can tell you, Ironman, no.
Not an Ironman. That's the Men's Health Urban Athlon for all you Spartan racers out there.
What's an urban athlon?
It's a 10-mile obstacle course race. So it's kind of like a... I call it like the Grey Poupon obstacle course race. You don't get dirty like the Spartan. We have to get hosed down after.
Okay.
So you do it in New York City, which is a bonus. It's, I think, October, late October. If you go to the Men's Health magazine site and look up Urban Athlon.
Like what kind of
barricades? I've done one in Chicago, one in San Fran, and so one example ran up Soldier Field. So you do stairs of Soldier Field, over barricades, under buses, over taxi cabs, kind of. So every mile, there's a different obstacle. They have a military wall, so I think it's about a 6-foot wall. You have to jump over three of those, balance beams. So usually there's about whatever you run. I run about a mile in about six minutes. I'm about a 6-minute mile guy. I'm joking. I'm not a 6-minute mile guy. But whatever you run a mile in every mile, then the obstacle takes anywhere from 30 seconds to, well, the stairs take you about about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Running Soldier Field, no one in there. When I was in San Francisco, we did it at the Pac Bell, the baseball stadium is. So it's really cool. And you're in New York. Well, this one time you're in New York.
So you're running stairs at Giants Stadium?
Yes, I believe
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, you wouldn't run stairs at the Jets because it would just reek of crap. So.
It's the same stadium, isn't it?
I know. I just say that because Majot's a Jets fan.
Yeah.
Now, this year when you ran your Ironman, you trained a lot. Well, you actually trained, which is an improvement for you. But there's high volume training, which a lot of long distance runners like to do. But you did exclusively the 43-22 training. What is the 43-22 training? How different is it?
Well, 43-22 training is a training that we developed at River Valley Health. It's basically the background I've been on before and worked with many athletes and always found a common pattern where people just didn't have that foundational strength. So you hear like functional strength. You've had different strength trainers on in the past. If you can't master body weight movement, then you can't master, you're not strong. You know what I mean? So there's there's sports-specific strength. So what we've done is we built, so the 43-22 is based on a pyramid system. So you have the base of the pyramid, which is a lot of like rehab focus, so mobility. You can't be strong if you don't move properly. You can't be strong if the muscles don't work properly. So a lot of neural activation, brain-body connection. And then you start growing, working on core, some core stability, but really building that foundation. So many people, we're going to do core. There's core done right, and you've been into our place. We do lots of planking and you're like, I can plank forever. Well, you can't plank forever properly.
If you're engaging your lats.
And the lats, a big one, right? So, and then you just build up that pyramid, right? And then you get into the strength training. So really, to really kind of base it down, the 43-22 is based on the angle of a pyramid. The Red Pyramid was the first pyramid ever in Egypt to actually stay upright. And it was a 43 degrees and a 22-foot block.
Okay.
So in theory, if you think of a pyramid, you can't go up higher in the pyramid if the bottom, the base isn't solid, right? So base is solid is a lot of rehab focus, but if you go to train and you're like, okay, we're going to do rehab, you're like, well, that's not training. I want to do squats.
Yes.
Well, if you can't, so many people get into a weighted squat, but if you have a pattern flaw, so if you don't activate your core, you'd be like, well, I get my core, but there's proper core and there's not proper core.
Mm-hmm.
And then you build that foundation and the amount of strength. Your efficiency. The biggest thing to really take out of this is your efficiency just comes up. So doing this race, so the Ironman is a 2-point, basically it's a 17-hour event. So the pros do it in 8. I'm not a pro. I didn't set any records, but efficiency. I'm a hockey player. I'm a 200-pound guy, power athlete or ex-power athlete. I shouldn't label myself a power athlete anymore. Sorry, Greg is smiling and chuckling across from here.
Well, I'm just more laughing at your hair, but anyway, let's go.
So it's a 112 mile bike, start off with a 2.4 mile swim, 112 mile bike, and then a marathon, so 26.2 mile run. And so what happened by doing this training, so many people like, I can't do a marathon. I can't do these big volume events or I can't achieve this because they have to put in so much time into training. So what we've done, what I did with my training is I did a lot of our functional strength and really trained as a power athlete because it's way more fun to train as a power athlete because you train, Jay trains like a power athlete, does more sprints and that kind of, slower, faster stuff. But then about 2 months prior to the race, then I started to do some volume. So many people, if they do an Ironman, you know, they're 5-6 days a week. And how many miles do you log this week? 110 miles. You're like, oh my God, that's awful. How do you do that? If you have a family, you have kids, you have a business, whatever, you have no life, right? So I was able to manage, and I was just so, and the nice thing is when I finished, everybody's there. It's not a good sight at the end of an Ironman. You know, people are vomiting. People are this, people are that. I felt really good. You know what I mean? Like the race I did was 42 degrees. It was in Coeur d'Alene or New York, like you call it. And so it was just basically efficiency patterns, right?
Do you find are more of the top marathon Ironman people training that way now?
A lot more functional strength, you know, a lot more speed. Like, the better athlete, yeah, the short answer is yes. If you want to win an Ironman, if you want to win the marathon, you need to do volume. You know, it's no different. If you want to go to the NHL, you need to skate in the off season, like, you know what I mean? But if you just want to play men's hockey better, you know, which most of us are, then if you do all this, you don't need to do all that volume type training. But so many people, like, you know, you just had Wall Spearman on at the Track Classic, and we work with the Track Classic this weekend. And, you know, the best nowadays, just athleticism could get you to the, you know, you probably see that with a lot of hockey players. Like, you know, like you've done work with your nephew there. And, you know, like the difference, there's so many good athletes out there now. Like so many people that have, there's so many things out there and anything, any competitive edge you can get. So now you get those, like the pro Ironman guy did it in 8 hours and 20 minutes. It's insane. And the guy behind him. So their functional strength, They know. So when I say functional strength, like when they're on one leg, how efficient, think of it as a car, like how efficient is that car moving? When you go take your car into the shop, you drive it out of there. You're like, whoa, man, this is a different car. You got to tune up. You know what I mean? So because everything's running properly, but then it starts to break down a little bit. And really that functional training is just making sure those, and it's a lot of it's getting the brain connected, brain body connection. You know what I mean? So there's many levels to that training. So.
Derek Lamshire from the base and River Valley Health joins us. You mentioned dealing with the Track Classic. Now, that's on the whole opposite end of the scale to the Ironman.
Yes.
You've got guys now, you know, the 100-meter is so technical, and then you need a lot of strength, you need a lot of power for whether you're doing discus, whether you're going to be doing hurdles or jumping, and a lot of different type of things. And some of these athletes are multiple. You know, some of them will do a few jumps, and then, of course, they're going to do some sprinting. When you see those athletes, and we're talking guys who have been in the Olympics, women who have won the Olympics, guys who won the Olympics, the 400-meter gold medal champ is here at the Track Classic. So we're talking the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
When you see those type of athletes and they're training, like, are they all then just about speed and power training? And how does it differ? Do you see, like, what's the most obvious difference you'll see from elite-level sprinters compared to elite level Ironman runners?
Strength component, like the size of the athlete's much different. There's more, you need to be strong. So taking a step back, the endurance athlete is like, I don't need to go to the gym. I don't need to get strong. You need to get stronger. You need strength is speed and power, right? Every athlete needs power. But if you're going for 10 seconds where you need the fast twitch muscle. I know you had Paul Plakis on, I think it was last week, talking about fast twitch, slow twitch muscle fiber. And so you need the bigger, you know, that fast twitch muscle. And you need to know the biggest difference. To give an example, if you're an endurance athlete, you need to be efficient, really efficient. Both people need to be efficient. But when you hit that ground,
yeah, you got to be light on your feet.
You almost
got to
float.
Right?
Yeah, light on the feet. Exactly. Right. When you're a sprinter, you got to go through, like you got to hit that ground. You got to generate power. And it's a lot of twitch. So twitch is a big, so endurance athlete is like, why do I need a twitch? Well, you need a twitch to float. It's a different twitch. It's a slower twitch, but it needs to twitch 10,000 times. So it's a slower twitch, you know, but a sprinter, I don't know how many strides a 100-meter guy, not a lot. And they need to explode because a good 100-meter person can't do 110 because they're blasting everything for. So really the size of the athlete, the muscle tissue, the strength aspect, and your training parameters are different. When we do a lot of, that's the nice thing about our training system is set up for any kind of athlete. A hockey player is kind of like probably more like a 400-meter sprinter.
Yeah.
That anaerobic, aerobic, you know, that kind of thing. And you need to have that strength to translate it into power to move you forward. And the best athletes, we just had a couple of the athletes in the clinic yesterday, and these guys are big. And I heard you talking about it earlier in one of your shows about Sidney Crosby. Everyone, biceps is not the way to go. You know what I mean? Like these guys, their butt, if you want a butt, be a track athlete. You know what I mean? Be a power athlete. You look at these guys, their butts, or guys and women, their butts and legs are really strong.
Is that all from Olympic lifting, do you find? What is it? And it's a question we got from people texting, how can you make your butt bigger, more muscular?
Yeah, that's a great question. So many people do exercises and you know, kind of the glute exercise. So you could throw a squat in there, a split squat, lunge. There's so many different, I'm not going to get into some technical stuff, deadlift, and they feel it more in their legs, right? So a lot of that, what'll happen is one day someone asked me, hey, why are you guys all about the lats? Why are you all about, and I'm like, well, I'm not all about the lats. Just nobody's lats work. You know what I mean? Okay. Everyone's lats. So what happens is you can't have a big back, like a fully defined back. Now, you could have a bodybuilder guy out there. Well, dude, I got a big back. Look at me. And I've worked with these guys, but they don't get the, but I can't get the bottom part of my lat going. Well, because those guys are in the gym 8 hours a day. So you will eventually, like you'll get fake lats. You know what I mean? Like, because you just get so big. So how do you get the butt bigger is you need to get that brain connecting to the butt. So we do, you've done these exercises, like the band exercises, right? So, and you get off of it and your butt is screaming, right? So you do that and then combine, because by then now you can go do a leg series. So you can do squats, deadlifts, whatever you might choose to do. And now you're going to build that butt because the light switch is there, right? The connection's there, right?
So it's really just activating it properly to start with?
Waking it up, you know what I mean? So many people, our lats, our glutes pretty much shut down. You know what I mean? That's why so many, going back to the track classic, 100 meter, 200 meter, that's why you see so many hamstring problems, right? Because if they don't, they're always, we're going to be at the hotel working on the guys this evening, tomorrow evening, we'll work on everybody's hamstrings, because everyone's hamstrings are tight. No matter, these guys are thoroughbreds, so we need to work them good enough so that they can run for 10 seconds, because you can't run efficiently, perfectly for 10 seconds at the speed they're going, right? So then they clean up their hamstrings, but if they don't get those hamstrings cleaned up, and if something's tight, then your butt can't work again. So, you know, okay, I get that working. That's why that mobility is so important, right? Because if your hamstring's really tight, you will never get a big butt, because your hamstring's always going to take over. And you're always going to be like, and you're probably like, I stretch my hamstrings all the time. Well, the reason why you're stretching hamstrings is because your butt doesn't work. It's kind of, one is there with the other. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, no, trust me. I know what I mean.
Glute amnesia is what they call it.
I'm going to blame my butt for my chicken legs, right? The fact that it's never activated. It's probably a big reason why. Because I do have tight hamstrings. Everything you just described is me to a T.
It was pretty much Jay. I described Mr.
Skinny legs, but muscular. That's how they are, right? they're like solid, like a goalpost. They're just about as round as a goalpost.
So we'll go goalposts. Yeah.
Soccer goalposts. Okay. Maybe the football ones, even.
One of those little kids' nets.
That would be nice. Going back quickly to your training where you did the 43-22, you said you felt better. If you did your next one, what would you do different to improve your time?
What I do different now is I do more volume. Because now what's happened is, I do a lot of these events just to be, I work with a lot of athletes to kind of an outside the box thing, right? But
to
I never
understand what they go through.
Yeah, to understand. Yeah, and just plus I talked. I got to be. I'm in extremely good shape, is what you told me earlier. But anyways,
was that the mirror? Yeah.
So now what I believe, because I've done this is my third one. I've done two of these before, and every time I did it, I basically couldn't walk for about a month. I was hurt. My hamstring, I hated life, so on and so forth. So now, after seeing how good I felt, now I know I can throw a little bit more volume at myself and be able to do better. And kind of like, now I believe that I can do this. And it's sort of like, it was amazing. When you're doing the run, so like I say, it was 42 degrees, the hottest day in Coeur d'Alene history, which is hilarious. It'll go down, they could be like, did you do that triathlon? Yeah, I did. You know what I mean? And when we were on the hill, because we do a lot of, because we're running up hills, you got to be very efficient, right? Because it's hard. If you don't have talk about breathing in the past, you don't breathe properly, you're screwed and blah, 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 right? When I was doing it, I was the only guy running up the hill. Everyone was walking. And I kind of like, so I'm a little bit slower. I'm in the slower group because of my build and kind of where my expectations are. But I'm like, damn, I'm better than these guys. But then you kind of like, well, if everyone's walking, I might as well walk. You know what I mean? Like, so, but I had no problems running because I was efficient still at that time. And then at that time, you're like, I've been doing this for 14 hours. I'm just going to drink Gatorade and just enjoy the scenery. But I felt fantastic. Like I never had.
So there was no puking, no bowel movements at the end.
I had a little bit of stomach issues about mile 10, but that's a whole nother story. it's warm Gatorade. It's a little hard to eat.
I don't understand. I respect people who do the Ironman. I just don't understand why. Like, unless you're going to win,
you know what?
What are you gaining?
You know
from
what?
It?
The Ironman, you should get an extra trophy if you have to use one of the biffies. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that. Like, so think of those outhouses. Yeah, you're making a face right there.
Gross.
And it is. And then, and you're like, do you go? It's a whole nother level. You're like, where's my second trophy?
Like,
you should be.
It's worse. Those I hear are worse, than the music concert. Porta potties. Think about that for a second.
Before you walk in, you do a prayer because some are worse than others. Some you go on, you're like, I'm out. You know what I mean? And a lot of the elite people, and I'm not an elite triathlete, but I know the elite people, everybody pees in their wetsuit in the water. Well, if you gotta go, you're in the water, whatever, who cares? The elite pee on their bike because they don't stop. You know, it's not a very sanitary event, right? And then I don't know what they do running, but I've never seen them go, because you need to go to the washroom. If you don't pee in an Ironman, you're in trouble because you're dehydrated, right? So I get off my bike, you got to walk in, but you should get an extra trophy for going on those out. Yeah, worse than Metallica.
Yeah,
horrible.
Yeah, no chance. Word. So congratulations to all of those who will be running in Ironman in the coming weekends.
There's actually a worse event this weekend. The I believe it's the Ultra Blackfoot Ultra, and it's a 50.
Ultra
50-mile, 100-mile run Crow's Nest Pass. We've got a lot of athletes doing that. So if you're listening, good luck.
And, good luck for that one. Avoid the porta potties.
Avoid the porta potties.
Maybe find the open tree if you can.
Find the bush.
Maybe you should just. Why don't athletes just run with the pens? No, honestly, couldn't you?
My five-year-old does.
It might look bad, but it'd be a lot more sanitary. Somebody should come up with like an Iron Man Depend version.
People would buy it.
Of course they would. Hell, guys at the bar would buy it. You're kidding me? It's Friday night. I'm sick of spending my time in there. Let's fire it up.
I love it. Yeah.